All right. Did y'all have a happy new year? I hope so. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Now, I've got these little cards, I think, out there somewhere. You can take stacks of them. It says, come home to joy, a picture of a little doormat there. And we're going to enter into 40 days of joy, actually a little bit longer than that, January, February, today. And on the back side, I don't know, Pastor Adam, did you talk about that, what I'm going to be doing? No, you didn't talk about it? You can pick these up and give them to your friends, your enemies, your neighbors, your in-laws, your outlaws, anybody that you think you can get one into their hand. And on the back, I'm going to be preaching on messages of joy throughout this time. I'm going to give you CCB text alerts. Now, if you haven't signed up for CCB, that's our database, and I will send out a joy jolt on a text message from time to time, sometimes every day if you want one. If you don't like them every day, just let me know and I'll make sure that I'm going to send it to you anyway. Then Periscope. If you don't know what Periscope is, it's an app that you go to your app store, download it. It's free. Every night at 9 p.m., I will be broadcasting live to share with you insights on joy and hope and knowing that God be for you, who could be against you. And so I don't know how long I'll talk, maybe no more than 5-7 minutes. But you can get that and watch it online, live. So it's free. So if you have an iPhone or a smartphone, I guess it's the same thing, you just download Periscope, okay? And then my Facebook page, I have Joy and Hope Thoughts, and then also my name, Lewis Kayeton, Facebook page as well, that I put on thoughts every morning. Some of you have liked those. Thank you for liking it. Those of you that haven't liked it, thank you for liking it and just not tapping like it. Because I know you don't not like it, you just don't hit like, right? Okay, so anyway, pick up those cards, and I think that'll be a blessing to you. Now, this morning, I'm gonna share with you a message on joy, and I am not responsible for how goofy I'm about to get. Now, do we have tissues in here, by any chance? Like people who, you know, cry at the altar and we give them a tissue? All right, we're going to change the purpose of the tissue. It's not to blow your nose or wipe your tears. We're going to get to that in just a minute. So, matter of fact, can we have some people just to pass out a tissue to everybody and just hold on to it? Please do not blow your nose in it. Hold on to it, okay? This is going to be fun. We'll get to it in just a second. But go ahead and pass out a tissue to everybody. But I want you to know that in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, the admonition was to go your way, to eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. In other words, God's saying, you know what? I don't want to leave anybody out. And this is the day that is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? The joy of the Lord is your... What's the strength in your life? The joy of the Lord. So if you need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, it would behoove us to get the joy of the Lord, right? So we're going to talk about that today, introducing this series on Come Home to Joy. And the reason why I titled it Come Home to Joy is because Israel had been in Babylon how many years? 70 years. And they had learned to live under the dominion of the Babylonian rulers. They had built houses, they planted vineyards, they set up shops, they had their children there. It became their home, if you will. But suddenly, Cyrus, Persia, conquered Babylon, understood and called of God to release the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. Think about that. They'd been gone 70 years. They said, now you guys go back. Here's money to rebuild your temple. Enjoy your day. Nice knowing you. Get out of here. And only 10% decided to go. 90% said, no thanks, we'll stay here. Here's what's wrong with that. Okay? Watch me now. Here's what's wrong with that. When you stay where you've always been, you are going to have to settle to what is given to you. However, if you'll come home to the Father's house, you won't have to settle to what's given to you. You will walk in what has been prepared for you by the Father. And how many knows that eyes have seen and ears have not heard all that the Father has prepared for you and me? God has some good things prepared for you and your life and your family. So we have to make that choice. Do I stay where I've been, settle for what's given, Or do I get up and move and go on home and realize that I can walk into what God has prepared? You know, you got to get up in the morning and say, you know what, doggone it, I'm committed to joy thought first. A joy thought first. Has anybody had any negative thought come into your brain sometime today yet from last night at midnight? Anybody besides me? Okay, all 12 of us, man, I'm feeling you. These other folks are like saints of God, man, you know. But I had some issues. I had some things happening. I had some people tell me some certain things. Some things didn't come to pass like I'd asked for 4 weeks ago. And I'm like, you don't have it? You know, I asked you 4 weeks ago. You don't have it? I'm like, oh. I thought, wait. I could have a joy thought about this. Because that can't determine what level of joy that I'm going to operate on. What they do or what they don't do. Because if I do that, I'm going to have to settle to what's given to me. But I realize I don't sit in that chair of what I get. I move my location into the chair of what I can give. And I can give joy regardless of what other people give or don't give. Now, I want you to know today that home is where you can receive the joy of the Lord. So I prepared a little video for you to kind of just give you an idea of what happens when you come home. You got it ready back there? All right, let's roll it. Turn the lights down a little bit. The prodigal that day, huh? He had been gone. He squandered his inheritance. He'd been missing from the family's table. And then that day, when the father saw him making his journey back home, wow. You know, the prodigal had settled. Well, you know what he settled for? A pig pen. He settled for what? He settled for his poverty. He settled for corn husks that have already been chewed over by swine. And finally came to his senses and he goes, man, I could go home. I could go home because in my father's house, even the servants of my father have more than I'm having right now that the father has prepared for them. Maybe I can go back home. Maybe he'll receive me back. You know the story. The father embraced him when he saw him. He ran to him. He said, welcome home, son. And while he was welcoming him home, he said, kill the fatted calf. For my son that was dead is now made alive. Let's make merry at the house. And the Bible says specifically in Luke 15 that merriment was in the house. And that's a secret to operating and living in joy. Joy is resident in the Father's house. And no matter how far you've been away, no matter how long you've been gone, how much of a stranger you've been to the family, let me tell you something. Your Father in heaven, He's waiting on you and me To do what? To come home. To come home to great joy. To come home to all that he has prepared. He said, go get a robe for my son. Get the ring. Get the sandals. Kill the fatted calf. Merriment was in the house. I'm telling you today, joy is your journey. Joy is your covenant right. Joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be so filled with joy. We are like borderline crazy. Yeah. All right, not crazy, borderline. Well, yeah, crazy. I like that word better. But 40 days, why 40 days? Because 40 days is significant in the Bible. Did you know that 40 days Moses was on the Mount Sinai and God gave him the word, the commandments, the word of God that would change the entire nation? In 40 days, they went from no word to the word. They went from no instruction to instruction in life. 40 days, Jesus went into the wilderness and defeated the devil. The Bible said he came out under the power of the Holy Spirit. 40 days. Look what can happen in your life if you'll press in. If you'll come home to the Father's presence. He said, because at his right hand, there is presence and there's joy evermore. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to come home to the Father. Come out of the world. Come out of our problems. Come out of the mentality that says you can't. And say, no, I can because my Father said I can. God is inviting you. He's putting out the doormat and he's saying simply, come home to joy. I believe the church's testimony in this hour will be because we have great hope and joy. We walk around and never see the glass half empty. We always see it half full because we know that if God is for us. Come on, preach at me now. Who can be against us? You know, when you lose your joy, or you have diminished joy, maybe it's time to go to joy training camp. You lose your technique. You know, when you first got saved, you were like smiling all the time. You're like, hi, hi, hi. You know Jesus? No. I do. You want to come to church with me on Sunday? No, not really. Why not? It's good. Jesus is really good. You know, when you first get saved, you've got so much joy, you're like getting everybody wet. You just sprinkle on everybody. Have you ever noticed that? Isn't it crazy? But somehow it diminishes. It wears out. It spills out. The level of joy begins to diminish. And I'm thinking, okay, God, what do we need to do? He said, call a joy camp, 40-day joy camp. He said, what about professional sports people? They've been playing football all their life, been playing basketball all their life. And what do they do? What do? They go to training camp before the season starts. Folks, before the new season of 2016 gets really going, let's go to joy camp. Let's purpose to make this year the most joyful, hopeful year that we've ever experienced in our Christian life. Let's make it evident. Let's make it so real that when people come into this place, when they walk in, I mean, we don't even have to have a song sung. They just walk in and they feel joy coming from your life and my life. They hear words of hope. They hear words of belief and positive nature. And they just know that the Father has prepared something big and something good. And I'm telling you, it's attractive. It's attractive because the sound of merriment is absolutely amazing. I want to read a verse with you, Psalm 34. If you can put it up on the screen in verse 8. Would you say it with me? Come on, let's do it. Oh, taste and see. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. You know, another interpretation or version of that says it this way. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Refuge means shelter. When you come into the shelter of God, when you come into the home or the abiding place, the dwelling place of God, when you stay right there and refuse to leave, that joy just gets on you because you're walking in the presence of God. It's not regulated based on the things around you. How many know that some people are going to be ugly? Huh? No matter how you try to treat them right, they're just bad people. They're selfish people. So you can't be, you know, I'd be joyful if you weren't so mean. I'd like to say, watch my joy in spite of your meanness. Because I realized something. They didn't give it to me. This world didn't give it to me. My bank account didn't give it to me. Come on. This joy that I've got is eternal. And if I'm going to give it up because I don't have enough money in my pocket, or because you are whining or not my friend anymore, then really what did I have? I had nothing but happiness. Because happiness is defined by circumstances. I've been there before, man. I've been happy one day and sad the next. Okay, let me break it down some more. I've been happy one minute, and the next minute I've been sad. All it takes is one text, one email, somebody's conversation. I get a card or a letter in the mail. I'm like, oh, and it's like the Holy Spirit say, what happened to your joy? I said, well, it was happiness. Because there's this crazy verse in the Bible. I don't know why God put it in there. James chapter 1, verse 2. Have you ever read it? I think we should read it. Here's what it says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Who wrote that? I have never been joyful when I have trouble. Unless I've come home. Unless I'm taking shelter. Unless I realize I'm in his house. And if I am, tribulation has no power over me. Trial has no influence in my life. Why? Because I've realized something. The joy that I'm operating in doesn't come from circumstances or people. Jesus said it this way. Be of good cheer. Amen. When you encounter tribulation, be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. Look, ladies and gentlemen, you've come to church with a bunch of crazy overcoming people this morning. And we are joyful in spite of the tears on our face, in spite of the lack in our pocketbook. It doesn't matter, because we know that our God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know this. I'm getting ready to celebrate, because God's always on time. Come on, look at somebody and say, God's always on time. Come on. Now, Paul speaks about joy throughout the New Testament. Paul talks about it. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Did you guys know that? Galatians 5:22. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, I need to have patience. I pray for patience. God, give me patience now. I don't think that's how you go about it. I don't believe it comes from here. I believe it comes from here. It comes from the indwelling presence of a living God. And he produces these fruits in our life, that we can have joy in our life no matter what takes place around our life. The fruit of the Spirit is part of your covenant right. You got to get bold this year and say, you know what? Joy is my covenant right. I've got the Holy Spirit. And because I've got the Holy Spirit, I can have joy. And I refuse to take Valium another day. I refuse to walk in depression. I refuse to be sad. I refuse to be melancholy. I refuse to be moved by what I see, what I hear, what I smell, what I touch. I refuse, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm coming home. I'm not going to be like the 90% of Israelites that stayed in Babylon when they had an opportunity to come back to Jerusalem. Hey, you have a chance to come back to Jerusalem. You have a chance to come back to joy. Don't be sitting there settling for what's given to you when you can have what's being prepared by your Father in heaven, all that he's prepared for us. Come on, church. This is a joy-filled year. Whew. You know, joy is found in the supernatural, not the natural. Look at Matthew 13, verse 44. I'm going to show it to you. Matthew 13, verse 44. I love this verse. Can we read it together? Let's try it. Come on. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all and buys that field. You know why? Because he found the pearl of great price. When you find the pearl of great price, you found joy. And that pearl of great price is Jesus. So if you're sitting here today and you tell me you got Jesus in your heart, give me some joy. Well, I have joy if I had more money. I said, did you have Jesus? Yeah, but I just need somebody to like me. I said, do you have Jesus? Yeah, I have Jesus. No, you don't. Because if you did, you'd have joy. No. Well, wait a minute. If the pearl is Jesus, and the man found the pearl and had great joy because he had the pearl, when you lose joy or you diminish joy, it's because you let go of the... Better hold on. Hold on tight. Get a hold of Jesus. Don't let go. Be like Jacob. I ain't letting go till you bless me. God, you're going to have to give it to me, Father. I'm not letting go of my grip of you. Joy camp. Joy camp. We need a little more discipline in the house of God. Y'all gotten soft. We're looking at stimulants to make us joyful. I'm going to give out $1,000 this week at the church, or I'm going to give a new car away to those that attend the next 6 Sundays. Oh, boy, I'm excited. I'm going to win that car. So now we got joy, but you lose. You're like, oh, man, I never win nothing. What happened to your joy? Huh? Because you didn't win the car. You didn't get the 3-day Caribbean cruise. You didn't get the chicken dinner underneath your chair. I put 10 Kentucky Fried Chicken certificates under the chairs of this house. Don't you look it. Pastor Adam was the first one to look up under his chair. He cheated because there was no one next to him. He looked under both chairs. And if you win, you're like, ah, I got a chicken dinner. I told you about this sermon, this crazy sermon. But the truth ought to be, I mean, I'm not trying to say just for a show. Don't try to be a show. I don't want showmanship. But, you know, sometimes to get people to laugh and smile in church, it's hard. Have you ever been to a sad church? Gosh. It's like, who died? Someone dying here? Whew. Y'all are sad. Well, we're just thinking about Jesus on the cross. It's like, dude, he resurrected and he ascended into heaven. Why are you so sad? I don't know. I just feel like it's my contrite heart. My gosh, you ain't winning nobody to Jesus, man. Because if that's the Jesus that you're serving, I pass. So what do? We look for stimulants to be joyful. Chicken dinners, give away cars, give away a Harley Davidson. That sounds a good idea. The pastor gives a Harley Davidson to the pastor. Man, I would really be joy-filled then. I'd ride it through this sanctuary. Yes, I would. Boom, I would. I don't want no Harley Davidson from you. Well, maybe. I don't know. I really don't. No, I don't. I don't want a motorcycle. Look, what do? In the world, here's what we do. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 said, the kingdom of God is not what? Meat or drink. Do you have that scripture? I gave you the wrong one when I gave it to you last week. It's Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not what? Meat or? Drink. Yeah, tell that to about a million revelers on Times Square on New Year's Eve. They were eating and they were drinking. Woohoo! Happy New Year! Until the next morning. They lost their joy. They lost their happiness. Kingdom of God is not what? Not eating and drinking. But what is it? Righteousness, peace, and what? In the what? Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. So we got Christians now. No joy. So what do? We take an alcohol to make us feel better. Like, I just need to relax. I need a drink. I need to get a little buzz because I've had a rough day. Why don't you go back to the Father's house and get some joy? Huh? Come on, let me tell you something about tequila. No, not tequila, tequila. You all, it's putting words in my mouth, Aunt B. Not you, but they were. Tequila is the alcoholic 100-proof liquor. Tequila is a Hebrew word for praise. It means out of control, crazy, spin around praise. So we got a bottle for everybody here today, just like on Oprah's show. And we got a bottle of tequila for everybody here this morning. And you can drink it. Yeah. So as Christians, we're like popping pills, you know, trying to lose weight, you know, trying to save up some money. You know, this Christmas, I was blessed. My family, they're buying me stuff. I said, don't buy me anything. I don't need anything. And then said, well, what do you need? I said, well, I like Barnes & Noble's gift card because that's where I like to study and research, and I like to buy me some coffee. So I got some of that. I'm like, ooh, that's good. I was feeling some joy. And then he said, what else do you need? I said, well, I need some running shoes, some workout shoes, because the shoes I've had, they're ASIC. They're really good ones. I paid like $109 for them like 8 years ago. But they're so worn out. Well, what did I say? 8 years ago. I did. Did I say something wrong? What did I say? Huh? Oh, running shoes for 3 months. Well, I've been running them for 8 years. I can't get nobody to buy me a new pair, you know. So, well, anyway, I've been running them a long time, and it hurt my feet. So they said, what would you like for Christmas? I said, I need some shoes, some workout shoes, some running shoes. So I got two pairs of running shoes on Christmas. Two pairs, not one, two. I was so filled with joy. I'm like, wow, two pairs of running shoes. This is amazing. Brand name stuff, too. This wasn't cheap stuff. This wasn't W.T. Grant. No, no, no. This was, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. But this was like name brand stuff. So I pulled them out of the box, and I'm like, wow, these are great. And they're really cool. And I went to put them on, and my joy left because they were too small. My foot wouldn't go in. I'm like, these are too small. So I got the other pair. I said, well, maybe these will fit. I'm like, I like these better anyway. I didn't say that because I didn't want to hurt the kids' feelings, you know. So I got them out, put my foot in there. Too small. Second pair, too small. I had no joy on Christmas Eve because both gifts were too small. I'm like, Jesus. And then Tina, Sunday, Christmas morning, we exchanged gifts. And these shoes I got on, these are like really kicking shoes. I like them. They're black. They're like velvet. They're like, they're really cool. So she bought me these pair of shoes, right? You see? Okay. So I get them out, and I go to put my foot in. I felt like Cinderella. I said, they're too small. My first pair of running shoes too small. Second pair too small. And now they want me to take them back. I went, you bought them. Why don't you take them back? I just lost my joy. How many know I didn't have any joy? Huh? Come on. If we can get you to frown over a shoe that's too small, then you ain't even joy-filled. But that's how we are, isn't it? We kind of got to that place. You know, I remember years ago we used to sing a song. You know, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my... Where? Wait. Hold up. You got to sing it. Where? And we sing it again. I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Is it down in my heart to stay? And then, you see, you know it, don't you? Yeah. Okay, hold up. So how many remember joy is a flag flown high from the castle of your heart? Isn't that the dumbest song you ever heard of in your life? You know what's bad about that song is you come to church and you're depressed And the song leader's like, okay, everybody, we're going to sing Joy is a Flag Flown High from the Castle of Your Heart. You're like, are you serious? Did you ever sing that song in church? None of you sang that song. You have. We're going to sing it this morning. That's why I passed out the tissues. You got to have a flag flying from the castle of your heart. Now, I don't know. I'm going to dare you. Some of you are going to get into it. Others are going to sit there and grumpy like me, like you've been doing the whole time since we've been in this church. It's all right. I'm used to grumpy. I've been doing this for 40 years. I can deal with Mr. Grumpy. But I know that God wants to give us some joy. So here's what I'd like for you to do. Some of you might even get real radical and stand and sing this. Smile, stand and sing this and wave the flag. Some of you might even, I'm not suggesting this because I don't want anybody to fall. You might even get up on your chair, smile, sing it and wave your flag. All right, are you ready? I got that joy, joy, joy. Give me a flag down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got that joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Tuesday. And I'm so happy, and I'm so happy. So very happy. Don't make me come back there. Not the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Whoa, look at all of you crazy, joy-filled people. I know that's a little over the edge. I know that's a little over the edge. But listen, seriously. How many have taken me up on the challenge of starting your day on your knees? Okay, some of you have done that. This morning, we were heading out the door, going to the first service. And Kenny's got her hands full with stuff. I got my hot water and lemon. I drink hot water and lemon. I'm like, hot water and lemon. I said, intestines, here comes some hot water and lemon. You've been waiting for this all night. Here you go. And she says, oh, no, I forgot to get on my knees and pray and thank Jesus. I said, you did? I said, well, you better do it right now. We're in the hallway of our apartment building. So I didn't think she was going to do it. She dropped everything. She went. And so I was standing there looking really stupid. She's on her knee. And I'm standing there going, ooh. I don't know this woman. But you know what it does? It gives you a recognition of the presence of God. When you have gratitude, you'll have a new altitude. When you begin being thankful, you'll be joyful. And really, I talked about it on New Year's Eve, you know. I think some of us have taken for granted that God gave you the money to pay your mortgage bill. It's not you. You say, well, I worked for it. No, God gave you the job. Come on, Bubba. He gave you the strength to go to the job. You know, you gotta start being thankful. And I said, when you pull up to the next BP gas station or wherever you get your gas, put that thing in the nozzle in the, what is that called? In that car thing, gas thing. Put it in that hole. Turn it on. Watch them little things go round and round and do your happy dance. Woo! God, I want to thank you because you gave me the money to buy some gas today. He said, why am I going to thank God for that? Why am I going to thank God for that? Look at the car I'm driving. If you want me to be joyful, why don't you give me a new car? See, that's your problem. You can't find joy over the gas unless you have the new car for the gas to go into so you could have joy. Joy isn't in the natural. It's in the spirit. And when you find yourself losing your joy, it's because you've lost your grip on the what? The pearl. We've got to hold on to Jesus like we've never done before. It's got to be Jesus is the reason why we have hope within us, an expectation of good, that we could celebrate the presence of God. And I don't need nobody to help me. I could do it all by myself. I could have church all by myself. I could thank God for what He's done for me. And if nothing's happened today, I'll think about yesterday. And if nothing happened of yesterday, I'll think about 2 days ago. But I'm going to praise Him, and I'm going to give God all the glory, because joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart. What causes joy to evaporate? Charles Spurgeon, you've heard of him, he said this great quote. He said, a genuine revival apart from joy is as impossible as spring without flowers or dawn without light. How many want to see revival come to Cleveland? Woo! It ain't coming when you're all depressed. Mad. Man, I'm mad. God's supposed to do this to me. I'm mad. Well, revival ain't coming to you. Because you can't have revival without joy. You can't have spring without flowers. Come on, you can't have dawn without light. And we can't have revival without the joy of the Lord. Church, you ought to just lift your hands right now and say, God, fill me up with some great joy. Come on. Give me great joy, God. Give me overflowing joy. Let me have joy that's, oh, God, inexpressible and full of glory. Because we want to bring thousands of people to Jesus. Joy-filled Christians. What a novel idea, God. That's great. I wish I'd have thought of that. So the large percentage of them remained in exile. Why? Because they didn't want to make the journey. 90% stayed where they were, settled for what was given to them. You got to get up this morning. You got to get up tomorrow morning. Start your day on your knees. Get up and say, I'm expecting great things from God. I purpose to be joy-filled. I don't care if I have a flat tire on my way to work and I'm late. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to give God thanks. I'm going to be joy-filled because I know God's got something good prepared for me. And I'm not going to let the devil steal away my joy. Come on, I'm going to get off of these narcotics. I'm going to quit that little stimulant drinking. I got to quit all that partying because it's not in meat or drink. It's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's where the kingdom of God is. John 15, verse 11, these things I've spoken to you. These things I've spoken to you. These things I've spoken to you. Jesus, what did He speak? His word. His word, John 6:63, my words are spirit and they're life. I spoke to you my word. This is why I spoke it to you. Why? So that you may, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Joy camp. Joy camp. Get in the word. Why? Because there's joy in the word. Yes, there is, because Jesus said it. He said, I spoke this that you may have my joy and that it may be full. So the more words you read, the more joy you are suspect to get. Come on. You're going to be overflowing with joy because you've been in the Word today. You've been drinking tequila. I preached on the 7 Hebrew words of praise once, and I got me a bottle of Jack Daniels. I did. I brought it right in church. And I changed the label on it to tequila. And I didn't tell the people what it is. I started popping that cork, and I'm like, and they're like, ooh, should we be shouting, or is this good, or what's he doing? And I had to explain myself. It's tequilah, Hebrew word for praise, spin around violently, out of control. That's what Jesus did when He saw the 70 return. He said, I saw Satan falling like lightning. The word rejoice there literally means spinning around violently, out of control. Have you ever pictured Jesus like that? We all look at Jesus as like got it together. What about David? David led a pageantry, a parade. He led worship into Jerusalem, spinning around in his undies. He was like, woo! Come on. He did. And what did Michael do? She's looking down from upstairs and she's like, oh, I have never. She was like all sour grapes, you know. She's like typical church folk. And we don't do that here. You know, lately in church, you don't have to worry about that. Nobody does that. Come on, I wish somebody get happy and just run. You know, during worship, be like, yeah! Hallelujah! Where are you going? I don't know. No. We don't do that here. I can't bring my family to a church like that. They'll think you all are drunk. Isn't that what Acts 2 said? Peter said, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, because it's only, what time is it right now? It's only 1:30 in the afternoon. But this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I would pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Look, I'm not trying to say put on a show, but I'm saying drink up. I'm saying get some Jesus in you to overflowing. Come on back to the Father's house. Here's another quote. I love this quote. Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. Have you ever noticed that? What does the rest of it say? It only saps today of its joy. Be anxious for nothing. That's a tough scripture. It's a tough scripture to say to God, I'm not worried. It's hard to do that. But worry will always rob tomorrow. Will never rob tomorrow of its sorrow. But it will always sap or take away your joy at the moment. Some of us have no joy because we're worried about tomorrow. And Jesus said, hey, what's up? Why are you all worried about tomorrow? As if you can do anything. Did you make yourself as tall as you are? You may have put on a few pounds I didn't plan on, but did I make you taller than what? He said, the lilies of the valley, they don't spin, they don't toil. The birds of the air, I feed them. That's really the key, isn't it? Total, complete trust in God. That God, you're going to work this out. I don't know how you're going to do it, but God, you're going to work this out. Meanwhile, I'm going to be joy-filled. It's time to go back to the basics of our faith and our Christianity. I don't know how we've evolved into these sad Christians with no hope and expectation, angry at everything and everyone. We're just mad. We're mad at the president. He don't even know you. What? Why are you mad at him? I don't like his policies. Ask him if he even cares. Why are you letting that steal your joy? Then you think if you've got the right person in the office, you'll have joy. You are so deceived. Grab hold of the pearl. Well, just take your hand out there and grab hold of something like you're grabbing hold of the pearl. We got to grab hold. We have to strengthen our grip. Come on, church, strengthen your grip on the pearl, because if you've got the pearl, you'll have great joy. Let me close this message. Sometimes joy is hard to have when you're legalistic. I don't want to make any enemies here this morning. Far be it from me to step on any toes. No, I can't do that. I've been reformed. Oh, okay. Why not? What's a few bunions? Legalism is a noose used by the enemy to suffocate the joy of the Lord. Because you feel like you're never pleasing God. You can't please man. You can't please your preacher. You can't please the deacon. You can't please the mothers of the church. You can't please nobody. Legalism. It steals your joy. Sin. Oh, what a word. Does anybody in here actually believe in sinning anymore? Can I show of hands? Anybody that believes in sin? All right, 12 of us. Oh, more. Okay. A few more over there. Okay, cool. You know, our modern church era, we have redefined sin. But did you know sin and joy can't cohabit? the same house? No, you can't have joy. You can't have the joy of the Lord when you're not in His Word. When you're breaking His Word and you want joy, that's why you're on Valium. That's why you're depressed all the time. You feel guilty. You can't be on the internet sites and come to church and go, joy is a black blown eye, brother Castle. I'm like, ooh, I feel bad. You can't do sin and joy at the same time. It doesn't work. It's like oil and water. That's why a lot of the church can't have no joy, because we'd rather have sin. So you got to go to the Father and say, Father, forgive me for all my sins. And guess what He does? Okay. By the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that was given as a sacrifice for you and me. Hallelujah, right? Isn't that good news? Grab hold of pearl. Come on home to joy. Material things don't bring us joy. Come on, joy comes when we allow Christ to possess our lives and not permit our possessions to possess us. Man, you just got to let go of that stuff. How important is it? Hudson Taylor was one of my favorite of all missionaries. His biography is amazing. He was China Inland Mission. I hold him in just high esteem, studied his life. Today, the underground church in China exists by and large because of his efforts. But he went to China and he did the kingdom different. He went with joy. And he went with total abandonment. The English at the time sent missionaries all over the world, but they would go as English citizens, you know, dressed in English attire. Well, in China, they didn't wear wigs. They shaved their head with a long ponytail. And so Hudson said, look, if I'm going to win them, I have to become like them. So he did. And he put on Chinese attire. And he slept in a Chinese home and slept on a Chinese dirt floor. And he spoke Chinese. And he wasn't trying to teach them English. He was trying to teach himself Mandarin. And he won millions to Christ as a result of his ministry. Here's what Hudson Taylor said. Please listen. I didn't put it on a slide. I should have. Let us give up our work. Let us give up our plans. Ourselves and our lives. Let us give up our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hand. And then, when we have been given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled or sad about. That's a powerful word. I think, God, I need to ascribe to that. God, can you help me get to that place in 2016? I mean, I have a lot of goals for this year, but I want that as my primary goal. I want to come home to the Father's house. I want to enter into all that the Father has prepared for me. Church, more than anything, that's what I want for us as a church. I really don't look for anything else. I'm not looking for anything else. I just want us to come into what God has prepared for us. He's got a kingdom. When you start having joy and quit allowing the sentiments of the day, the news of the day, to cause you to be depressed and worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. How many know God's in control? Well, if He's in control, then don't worry about it. What are you worried about? Well, we better store up some food. We better find a bomb shelter. The world's going to end, and everybody's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm like, wait. What Bible are you reading? Do you think Jesus is going to come back for anything less than He left? He left a church that was pretty bad. Shadows were healing people. Handkerchiefs were like making people rise up from the dead. You think Jesus is going to come back for anything less than that? Come on, we need to get the joy of the Lord and say, yeah, these things are happening, but God. I believe my God is able. I believe my God will do what He said He will do. I believe God will come through just in time when He needs to come through. See, that's the kind of attitude that's got to grip our heart. And if you're not careful, you'll get up in the morning like Tina. Let me just get on her case this morning. She's not here right now. Don't you tell your mother. Because I'm going to have some trouble maintaining my joy. She got up and went on her way because she got busy. She was up late. She was scurrying around. She had to iron something. She changed outfits twice. I'm standing there like, time to go, baby. I love it when I'm ready ahead of time, because it's been the opposite before. I'm ironing my second outfit. I'm running behind, and she's standing there going, come on, dude, we got to get to the house of God. So she takes off because she's got a lot of responsibility. She's in a hurry. She has a lot of things to do and remember. And suddenly, she realized she left without getting on her knees. You say, well, that's legalistic. No, no, no. I'm using it as an illustration to say, don't get up in the morning tomorrow and forget to leave the house without joy in your heart. Don't allow the world to steal it from you. Don't give up on it. Strengthen your grip on the pearl and never let the devil take it out of your hand. Because God has a great plan for your life. Well, welcome to Joy Camp 2016, because this is going to be a journey. Hallelujah. I got one more scripture for you, but I don't know if you can handle it. Can you handle it? Okay. It's pretty amazing. The Bible says that in Acts 13:52, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now, when I got to be saved, I was in a Pentecostal church, classical Pentecostal. And they said, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet? I said, no. But I want it if it's in the Bible. Well, you can have it. So they brought us down at the altar. And some of you know about this, some of you don't. But you know what I'm talking about. I need an illustration. I don't want to hurt you guys. So, come, Pastor Adam, let me hurt you. You can just kneel down there like you're a seeker for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just kneel down. And I'm going to pray for him to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So he's calling on the Lord. And I'm saying, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, no. I said, well, I'm going to pray for you. So I'd grab his head. I'd just hold on. And we'd be praying. Father, give him the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus. Just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. Oh, praying, brother. Holy Ghost, come on him, Lord. Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on. That way, just hang in there. That way, I'm serious. 20 minutes later, I've got not one person, but four, five people grabbing hold of my head, jerking it every which way. Come on, come on, come on. Sha-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Come on, come on. Sha-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Come on. Ha-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Come on, come on. I'm not kidding you, man. 20 minutes later, maybe a half hour later, I was getting cramps like down in here and back here. And I needed to get up, and I thought, if I get up, I'm not going to get it because I got to stay down here. I said, just keep seeking. Just keep crying out. Keep calling out to God. And finally, they got tired. I'm like, man, you were close. I mean, I felt it. I sensed God. You were close. Next time, you're going to receive it. But God bless you, brother. We love you. God bless you. All right. All right, it's time to go. They got to lock up the church. God bless you. You want back, huh? And that's kind of my experience with the baptism. I swear that's the absolute truth. You know how I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I was driving in my car by myself. I was in my car on Route 611 by a car wash. And I'm like, Jesus, I love you. Whoa, what's that? My point is this, church. How many times can I tell you that the church not only prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, but they prayed for me to receive great joy? Oh, you forgot that part. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with what?
Joy.
And?
The Holy Spirit.
So we built a whole doctrine around the Holy Spirit baptism and forgot about joy. And is a conjunctive word. It's as important as the Holy Spirit, because the kingdom of God is not righteousness, meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy where? In the Holy Ghost. So the joy, the baptism of joy is for you and for me. And so you've got to want it. You've got to hunger and thirst for it. You've got to say, you know, I'm tired of living depressed. I'm tired of letting circumstances dictate to me my hope. I'm going to love Jesus with all my heart, and nothing's going to change that. I'm not losing my grip for anybody or anything. Because
where?
Down in my heart, baby. So I'm going to pray for you for joy of the Lord this morning. Now, I'm not responsible for how you drive home. If you're swerving, pull over. Okay? Don't text and drive. Don't drink joy and drive. Don't swig tequila and drive. Okay? I'm serious. We ought to be, that ought to be normal for us. We ought to be so overpowered by the Holy Ghost that, you know, our husbands, our wives come home and they're like, hi. Honey, what have you been doing? Just been praising Jesus. We going to eat tonight? I don't know. You want to? Let's do it. Where are we going to eat? You want to go out? Yeah, let's go. Okay. It ought to be normal for us. What happened to that normal under the influence where they said, these men are drunk? I'm not saying just put it on to put it on. That's what a lot of Pentecostalism has done. But because of that, we swung way the other way. We don't want anything to do with the influence of the Holy Spirit in our churches anymore because we think Mr. Big Bucks out there will get offended. He's not going to get offended. He wants the same thing. He's on Valium. He just can afford it. He needs to be set free too. He needs the real joy of the Lord. He needs to get his grip on Jesus. Come on, church. I think that's enough, don't you? We'll stop there. We got 40 days of this. It's going to be lots of fun. I think it's going to be lots of fun. Let's stand up. I'm going to pray for you. Whew. Hey, Miss Ashley. You knew I was going to get you. Yeah. Miss Ashley's got joy today. You know why she's got joy? I'm just going to show you why she's got some joy. All right. Let's see. This hand. Yeah, this hand. Yeah, she got a little ring right there. Somebody in the drum cage gave it to her on New Year's Eve. Congratulations. Isn't that awesome? That's good. So, Father, I just want to pray right now for the house of God. I thank you for these wonderful people. I thank you, Lord, that they have their grip fixed firmly upon the pearl of great price, Jesus. They found the treasure of the field. Woo! And as a result, Lord God, they can go forth into this year with great joy, unspeakable and full of glory. We thank you, Lord, right now that we can receive your joy because we receive the things that you spoke to us. It's your word. We thank you that no matter what, in spite of the trials, in spite of the trouble or tribulations that we might be in, we know, God, that we're going to triumph. We know that weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I thank you, God, that even those that might be in that place of weeping, darkness, heavy heart, that they won't lose heart. But they know that joy is on the horizon because they will not let go until you bless them. So now, Father, I just pray a release of greater joy in this house. A release of greater joy upon the people of God. That we might be a witness to this region. That Jesus saves, heals, and delivers. And that his kingdom has come to the earth. And there is great merriment in the house. Because a prodigal has come home. With our heads bowed, you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm a prodigal. I've been away from God. I've been settling for what I can get rather than all that my Father has prepared for me. Do you think the Father in heaven would receive me back into the family? Absolutely. Just like that video, sir, ma'am, just like that video that we showed, when you walk through that door, mistakes are forgotten. Past hurts are forgiven. All he knows is to give you his love. So right now with our heads bowed, you say, Pastor, I need that prayer. I need to come home to God. Pray for me that I would find Jesus as my Savior. No one looking around, you say, yeah, Pastor, I need that prayer. Would you slip your hand up so I could see it if that's you? Amen. Anyone else? Thank you. Amen. Thank you over there. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? This is a great moment in the house of God. Hey, guess what? Look up at me. The Bible said anytime a sinner comes home to God, all of heaven rejoices. So you are causing a party to be in heaven. Yeah. Look, you got to get the attitude that you're not going to a party, you are the party. We stay in party mode all the time, right? Amen? All right, altar ministers, would you join us? You raise your hand. Can we pray for you? Or maybe you've just been struggling with heaviness, depression. We want to pray that that thing would be broken off of you and that you would find the joy of the Lord before you leave this room. So come for prayer, would you? If you raise your hand and said, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus, would you come out from where you're standing? Be so bold to join one of these around the altar. All I can say is thank you, church. Thank you for another year. I'm looking forward to all that God's got planned for us in this year, 2016. And I believe it's going to be the best year yet. Why? Because God just keeps getting better and better every day, doesn't he? His love gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Love on somebody. Tell them, I love you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. All right? We'll see you next time, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you then.